I am alive, he says, I wonder if you notice it, I am ascending. Now, of course, Jesus had no need to say to Mary that he was alive by that time. She knew. That much was pretty plain from what she could see with her eyes and hold in her arms. As much as that fact alone, that he was alive, was enough to give Mary a whole lifetime of wonder, the fact was not in question. Jesus was alive. She was pretty sure. But while Mary holds on to Jesus, he says in verse 17, "Do not cling to me, for I have not yet ascended to the Father. But go to my brothers and say to them, I am ascending to my Father and your Father, to my God and your God." Jesus' ascension isn't often overlooked, but it's an essential part of the very good news about Jesus. It's the thing that makes the good news about Jesus an enduring good news that goes on and on. Part of the reason is this. Part of the reason it's often overlooked, I think, is this. Those of us who take these events literally can sometimes feel a little jealousy that we weren't there. That yes, Jesus rose, but just wouldn't it have been great to have been there? To have actually seen him, to even maybe clung on to him as Mary did. To have him sort of hang out with us and explain all things to us. And for our faith to have been given just that unshakable bedrock of having seen him with your own eyes and know he really is alive for real. But by spending today contemplating Jesus' ascension, I'd suggest, and I think John would suggest, that we're actually getting quite a bit closer to the point of the day. Jesus' resurrection appearances are great proofs that he's alive, but they're not the point. The accounts we have of Jesus' life match up pretty well, for the most part. But his resurrected life, well, that's pretty patchy in the way it's talked about in the Gospels. It's a bit of a mystery. You have to piece together scraps of data here and there to know what little we do know about these few days. And basically we have this, that Jesus visited and taught his disciples. He sometimes ate with them, and he did all this over a period of 40 days. But throughout that time, he was coming and going, often surprising his disciples and then disappearing quite suddenly. And so from the fairly sparse data alone, it should be obvious that we were never meant to make much of that 40-day span. There's only so much we can make of it because we haven't been given a whole lot of information about what really took place to fill in the details. The greater thing is that isn't that Jesus was alive for those 40 days, but that he is alive still, that he ascended to the Father. It also makes sense to sort of prioritize thinking about the ascension today. It also makes sense of Jesus saying to Mary, "Do not cling to me." And also saying, "I am ascending." As if they were never meant to get used to having him around again in this way. But the point of Jesus coming back to life was actually for him in the end to leave, to return to the Father. So what is it about the ascension? I'm just going to make three really simple short points today. What is it about the ascension of Jesus? Well, it's his return home, it's his glory, and it's our enduring and eternal hope. It's Jesus' return home, and it's his glory, and it's our enduring and eternal hope. For Jesus, the first point is this, that it's his return home. That's the message he gives Mary in the garden. He says, "Go to my brothers and say to them, I am ascending to my Father and your Father, to my God and your God." For Jesus to return to heaven was a glorious homecoming. For all eternity, he and the Father have been one. He was God. He was with God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through him. But the Holy One became flesh. He emptied himself. He took the form of a servant in the likeness of a man. And he spent 30 good years here on earth. For his lifetime on earth, Jesus did enjoy a unique communion with the Father, sometimes even hearing his voice. But he also felt every consequence of the curse of fallen humanity. And so to rise from the grave only to linger here and hang out indefinitely would have been like rising from a party to head home only to linger by the door and never really say goodbye, and also never really to get home to your own bed. So Jesus' ascension marked his own return home, a glorious homecoming, his goal. But it also marked his glory. That's the second point. In Ephesians chapter 4, verse 10, it says this. It says, "He who descended," that's Jesus, "he descended to the earth. He who descended is the one who also ascended above the heavens that he might fill all things." He ascended that he might fill all things. It's his glory. Throughout, John talks a lot about glory. John is the gospel writer that uses the word glory the most. It's a pretty key agenda for him. Two things are obvious as John records Jesus' words about glory. The first thing is this. Jesus' agenda on earth was to bring glory to his Father. In his life, to bring glory to the Father. And he did it by pointing people to God above in his words and in his actions and especially in his death. The second thing about glory is that his Father would in turn glorify him. So the first thing is that Jesus was there to glorify God. The second is that God would in turn glorify Jesus. And that is a match literally made in heaven, where one doesn't need to worry about his own interests because each is pointing to the other. And that's true love. Jesus' glory came in what's sometimes called his vindication. The fact that he was proved to be right and proved to be everything he claimed by the fact that he was risen from the dead. He was ultimately proved to be approved by God. The only Son, a teacher of truth, because the Father wouldn't raise any vain heretic from the dead, would he? Only his own chosen Son. But a bodily resurrection would have been a fairly incomplete glory. It's not the whole thing. There are a handful of other examples in Scripture of people who were miraculously raised from the dead. Not heaps, but a small number. But every one of them, as far as we can make out, they simply rose to live an ordinary span of years and then die again. But Jesus was caught up to heaven. He didn't die again. Death for him is conquered eternally. He rose never again to die, forever to reign. He ascended, as Paul says in Ephesians, he ascended far above all the heavens that he might fill all things. So his ascension is his own glory. But also for us, Jesus' ascension is our enduring and eternal hope. If it was merely a resurrection, you know, sort of springing back to life for a moment, followed again by a more timely death, maybe at the age of 70-odd, 80-odd, who knows, the hope of Jesus' life for us today would be pretty small. It would certainly be diminished. His victory would be only temporary. But his ascension means that he lives. Jesus is. He reigns. So for us, 2,000 years later and forevermore, Jesus is the Lord. He's the Lord of glory. We should also remember that even before Jesus was killed, he laid the groundwork for this era, the one that we live in now. Before he died, he set the expectations with his disciples. He didn't set the expectation for a time when he would continue just to hang out with us. But he was setting them up for a better time when he would no longer be around in person, but when he would be present in his spirit. In John chapter 16, verse 7, he said to his disciples, so this is, you know, a couple of days before, he said, "I tell you the truth, it is to your advantage that I go away. For if I do not go away, then the Helper, the Holy Spirit, will not come to you. But if I go, I will send him to you." It's to your advantage that I go. And so his point wasn't to rise back to life and then just hang out for ages. His point was to rise back to life and go. And leave the Holy Spirit behind, leaving us actually better off. This is the era of blessing. So in fact, we are the lucky ones. Even better than Christ in the flesh, if you can believe that, is to have his conquering spirit, which without his ascension, Jesus tells us he would never have left behind. So the fact that he rose to the Father is good news in an enduring sense for you and I today. And to labour the point just a little bit more, and I'm nearly done, Jesus is more than our enduring hope, he is our eternal hope. Jesus chose to ascend and return to the Father, he says, to prepare a place for you. In chapter 14, he said, "Let not your hearts be troubled. Believe in God. Believe also in me. In my Father's house are many rooms. And if it weren't so, would I have told you that I go to prepare a place for you? And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and I will take you to myself, that where I am, you may also be." Jesus promises to go to the Father, to ascend, and there to prepare a place for you with him and the Father, his Father, your Father. Jesus' resurrection is the sign and seal of our coming resurrection, that whoever believes in him will live even if they die, his words. His ascension is the promise that he is already there waiting for us, preparing your room and inviting you to your own eternal home. Just to wrap up, we see that too in Jesus' words with Mary, the words that we're focusing on. He says to her, "Go to my brothers and say to them, I am ascending to my Father and your Father, to my God and your God." His disciples now he refers to as not disciples, but brothers, family. His Father, he says, is also ours. His home is waiting for you eternally. Let's pray. Our Father in heaven, it is not that the resurrection is unimportant, not at all. It's just not the final point. It's not the point of what Jesus was gearing up for. His plan was always to leave us behind, but to leave your spirit behind with us. We thank you that in his resurrection and his ascension, he is vindicated. He is proved to be all that he said he was. We thank you that our faith in him is therefore also vindicated. We can join in his glory because we serve and worship the risen Lord. We thank you that Jesus Christ now gets to enjoy his own glorious homecoming. We thank you for his great glory. We pray that we will glorify him and you as we've been taught. And Father, we pray that today you will help us, that you will increase our faith, that you will help us to put our trust in an eternal hope. That the Lord Jesus isn't dead and he didn't just rise, but he ascended. So he lives even now, prepares even now a place for us. Pray that you will feed our faith on these truths. Amen.